Harper Via and Harper Audio present The Lost Shtetl, a novel by Max Gross, performed by Stephen J. Cohen. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider or go directly to www.harpercollins.com/audio/lost-shtetl. The enhancement contains a glossary of terms used in the book. To a worm in horseradish, the world is horseradish. Yiddish proverb. 1. The meteor. Even in a happy, peaceful town such as ours, it is possible to find someone you never want to see again. Pesha Lindauer found one such person, a man whose visage drove her to rage, and whose voice made her clench her fists and grit her teeth. A man who haunted her dreams, tormenting her with whips and fire, and whose appearance always left her with a faint smell of sulfur upon waking. It was doubly unfortunate that the personage in question was her husband, Ishmael. A few months after a marriage contract had been signed and a dowry paid, Pesha asked her husband for a divorce. This was not exactly a surprise to most of the people in our town. We had all observed the frostiness between husband and wife when they walked through the market square on Friday afternoon to do their Sabbath shopping. We had heard the scintillating gossip that Pesha was a woman of peculiar appetites, and that she slapped her husband when they were in bed together. There had been plenty of reports from the neighbors that the two of them roared at each other late into the night, like a pair of caged animals. And there was a story making the rounds, who knows if there's any truth in it, that Pesha went to her father the night before the wedding contract was to be signed and begged him to call the whole thing off. The only real surprise was that Pesha had the nerve to end their marriage so soon after it had begun. Shouldn't the woman at least give the thing a year before she calls it quits? Esther Rosen asked the women hovering around her stall in the marketplace, all of whom clucked in agreement. The Rebbitzin was sent to pay Pesha a visit and see if there was anything that could be done to rescue the marriage. Is your objection based on something that happens in the dark? The Rebbitzin asked, getting straight to business, because if that's the case, there are things that can be done. A serious talk can be had with Ishmael behind closed doors where he can be wised up about the facts of life. No, said Pesha. The marriage never should have happened in the first place. We were wrong for each other right from the beginning.
Why do you say that? Give me reasons.
It's nothing I could put my finger on, Pesha said a little cryptically. I just can't stand to look at him anymore.
You can't just divorce him, the Rebbitzin said. There must be a reason.
Pesha Lindauer dutifully outlined a smattering of her husband's flaws, from ox-like silence to bad breath to fits of temper and crankiness, all of which the Rebbitzin listened to without interruption and then waved away.
Nevertheless, you must try to reconcile, said the Rebbitzin firmly. Divorce should always be the last resort. Besides, nobody wants to marry a divorcee, Pesha. You'll be damaged goods for the rest of your life. Give up on him at your own peril.
Which was a slight exaggeration, of course, but I suppose a Rebbitzin has a duty to make a divorce sound dire. Pesha and Ishmael were told to be on their best behavior for at least a week. You are to try to find common ground, Rabbi Sokolow instructed them late one winter afternoon in his study. You are to treat each other with dignity. You are to be humble and courteous. And you must stop your bickering. You must both promise here and now not to raise your voice.
For goodness sake, Pesha, the Rebbitzin whispered when they were alone. The Coopermans hear your yelling next door almost every night. Try...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?